except for that lot. Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one.
All right. Thank you for your patience. Sometimes we can't always know what to do. We try to follow the mind of God.
Amen.
As best we can.
Amen.
I had rather go down swinging, trying to find the mind of God, than to sit there and feel like that God wanted to do something and just sit on it and go, well, I don't know, Lord. I don't see that better.
Amen.
There was a spirit that flashed up to me and said, well, you'll see more evidence that this is what God wants to do. Well, I'd rather step out in boldness of what I feel like God asked me to do. Praise God. St. Matthew chapter 24. Well, let's start our journey in St. Luke 11 and 21. St. Luke 11 and 21. We'll stand for the quick reading of the Word of the Lord, just a short verse of Scripture, and you'll be seated. As is our custom. St. Luke 11:21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. I want to preach to you for a little while on the unsecured house. The unsecured house. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Lord, we come to you right now, Lord. God, we desperately need your touch. I can do nothing without you, O God. Lord, I'm here to deliver your word, and I'm here, O God, to deliver a challenge. Lord, I'm here with a burden because you put the burden on my heart, O God, for the day and the hour and the circumstances, O God, for which we live demands, O God, a burden. It demands a passion. It demands that we have a hunger and thirst for your righteousness in this evil day. Lord, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay. I pray that you would bless this congregation. Give us a powerful anointing, O God, that we might be blessed by your word. In Jesus' name.
And you may be seated. Praise God. We're living in a day, in a time, in a challenging hour. And the enemy is so much in our forefront. He's not shrinking back from standing right in front of you and challenging you and getting in your face. I'm talking about the devil that hates your soul, that hates this gospel, that is determined, that this world is going to go down with very few souls saved. And I want to turn your attention to the book of St. Matthew 24. I want you to see where I'm coming from in terms of the Scripture and why I have titled this message, The Unsecured House. 24 and verse 43. Let's go back to 42. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now what he's saying so very powerfully is that the reason why that the house was disturbed and the house was broken into is that the good man of the house was not at his position. He was not at his charge. He was not at his place. And because he was not at his place, then the enemy was able to come in. And I read to you prior that the Bible talks about the strong man is able to secure his goods. He is able to secure his palace. He is able to secure his home. And the Lord has sent me to simply preach to you today that too many homes are unsecured. Too many homes in which there's nobody at the guard. Too many homes in which nobody is careful about what's happening in their home. And the enemy is trying to come in.
Come on,
right?
Come
and
on.
Do his damage.
Come on.
Yeah. I spoke with Brother Evans before this service began, and I began to tell him about a very alarming phone call that I've had, or a text back and forth with somebody that's very close to me. I'm not going to mention who it is. But I'm here to tell you that I recognize by what he said in this text that he is very much in attack in his mind. I said he's very much in attack in his mind. And he's very much in his attack by doctrine. He has allowed things to come through him through different means and mediums and media to persuade him of things that are not true, that are not right, they are not, as a matter of fact, they are as counter to the Word of God. He doesn't recognize it, he wouldn't acknowledge it, he wouldn't say it is, but what he's beginning to think is so counter to the will of God and the Word of God that it absolutely conflicts with the Word of God, to the point that he's beginning to believe some Scripture is anointed and true and some were not. And that there were other things that could have been added that weren't added that should have been added. You see, the enemy wants to come in, and I'm here to tell you, he's going to come in at the home. Here's the thing, I want you to see this if you don't see anything else. This world right now is focused on politics, and they're focused on an unsecured border. And I understand it, and I get it. And this world is focused on what's going to happen in this election year, and they're focused on a lot of things. But I tell you in the Holy Ghost that there are so many unguarded homes. The enemy has said, look over here, look over here, look over here. And in the meantime, he comes into the home. He will drive the enemy out when he tries to come.
Come
on. Now, those of you who know me, heard me, know that I am a history person. I love history, history buff. I'll tell you what happened. I'll describe a story that happened in the Civil War. I wrote it because it's easier to read than perhaps we try to remember every detail. But there was a battle. Matter of fact, it was the last big battle that the Southern forces ever won in the United States of significance.
Uh-huh.
It was the Battle of Chancellorsville. And Robert E. Lee, at the Battle of Chancellorsville, he had defeated a U.S. Army twice the size of his own. And he had a right-hand general. And this right-hand general led a 12-mile march around to outflank the enemy. So they're in front of the enemy, and the enemy is twice what they have. And so what they decided to do was they would split their force completely in half, and Stonewall Jackson would swing on a 12-mile march
around to a place that they described in Civil War terms as the enemy has their position and their flank up in the air. What it meant by that is they weren't secured. They were not secured by river. They were not secured by mountain. In other words, they were vulnerable in that position. And so what they decided to do was they marched around and they caught the enemy off guard. They weren't looking for them. And so they were able to attack the weak position. It was as I described to you over here. This force over here was saying, hey, we're about to bust you up. We're about to come directly at you. And they did not recognize and realize that they were being threatened on an end round.
Amen.
On an end round march. I'm telling you, it's just like today. The enemy is right in front of us, and he's threatening, and he's pointing to a lot of things to really get our attention. And little do we know that there's an end round marching trying to find a weak place to attack, because once he attacks the home, he's got the church.
Come on.
Not really because God can control the church, but he can attack the church.
Amen.
Once he attacks homes.
Amen.
Once he weakens the fact that there's no prayer.
Yeah.
Once he weakens the fact that there's nobody standing for righteousness.
Okay.
When he weakens the fact there's nobody talking about the truth and teaching the truth and just letting everything come in.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on, brother. Come on.
I mean, don't get me wrong. God's always going to have a church.
Amen.
But just because God's always going to have a church doesn't mean it's necessarily going to be me.
Amen.
If I allow the enemy to defeat me because there's no strong man in the home, this person said to me, this person close to me said to me, I'm upset with the church because the church don't talk about the book of Enoch. And the church don't talk about all these other books that were found that could be talked about. I feel like that they. I said, son, here's the thing. Certain books were canonized and scrutinized, and they were chosen as legitimate part to be in the Bible.
Amen.
He said, well, I don't like it because somebody made a decision for me. What he's really saying is, I don't believe in gatekeepers. I'm going to tell you something, folks. We live in a day and time where people don't believe in gatekeepers.
Right.
I'm not here to try to hide nothing from you.
Yeah.
But I am here to screen things from your that can hurt you.
Amen.
I said, son, don't you realize, child, that if there's no one to say, this is not of God, or this needs to be scrutinized, or let's just let him, his attitude was, let me choose on my own.
Mm-mm.
I tell you, we're living in this world today.
Have it my way.
Pastor, don't tell me what to do.
Have it my way.
Let me choose for my, you just let it all come to me and I'll just choose what I, out of my. I said, first of all, Unless you know Bible enough, you're going to be foiled for that individual that's trying to mislead you.
Amen.
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 Come on.
Yes, sir.
Trying to tell me that there were civilizations before Adam. I said, no. Adam was the first man. And I said, it's not a matter of faith as much as it's a matter of history.
Amen.
It's historic. And it was verified. It was verified. This is reality. But what do we have? We've got all this confusion and all these lies up there, all these distortions. And I said, let me ask you something. If you were the devil, wouldn't you find it a smart thing to do to muddy up the waters as much as you possibly could?
Amen.
Wouldn't you try to create some passages of Scripture that you could say is the Bible?
Yes,
And create as much confusion as you possibly could. If you were the devil, wouldn't you try to bring as much confusion to keep people from finding God as you possibly could? And you're telling me there should be no gatekeeper?
Come on.
Well, I guess that watchman on the wall served no purpose then, did he? Because the people could just kind of figure it out for themselves whether they were about to die or not.
Come on.
Oh no, my friend. I need a preacher. You need a preacher. Why? Because the preacher is going to study the Word of God. The Bible says the man of God is supposed to study to show himself approved. He's supposed to know when people bring up all these kind of challenges, what is my answer?
Come on.
You got a pastor that has to know, because I promise you, he's going to get challenged.
Amen.
If you are a preacher of the gospel, you're going to get challenged, because we know that there are demonic spirits at work.
Amen.
To pollute and change the gospel.
Amen.
But my Bible tells me if anyone comes along with anything else,
come on,
let him be cursed. So here we have this story, and we see this illustration in the Civil War even. How somebody said, well, I'm just attacking them. Not up front. I'm going to attack them at the weak spot. And here we live in this day and age when everybody is screaming for our attention. And I'm here to tell you that while we are rightly concerned about a shrinking dollar and a southern border that has turned to chaos, the enemy is making unprecedented inroads into the household. Parental rights and the erosion of parental rights is taking place in every state where it is even remotely possible.
Right.
If you're not keeping up with the news if you dispute me on this. You're not even keeping up with the news if you tell me that's not happening. Because there are in California, God forbid you in a place like California, they can take your child, and if that child is getting confused and has some kind of sexual dysphoria about who they are, they'll take them and get a sex change, and you don't have anything to do with it because your parental rights are being attacked.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the real fight is in the home.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Come on, brother.
Yes, sir.
The real fight is in the house.
Amen.
And here is the ministry today. Here's our charge, is to explain to you and tell you that while you think the enemy is raging over here, and he is to a degree, he has divided his forces and he has looked out to find your weak spot in your home and attack you in the weakest possible place. And when he sends a preacher to declare to you to not be fooled by what the devil does, he's always been a deceiver. He's always been a liar.
Amen.
And he always, the tactic is always to show you one thing and do something different, because he's got you worried and fretted and dealing with all of this. And I'm not here to tell you that there's not reasons, Brother Crabtree, to be alarmed on what's going on at the border. I'd be a fool. But I am here to tell you that the devil's got a lot more going, and what is dealing with is a lot more significant on the things that a lot of times we don't even talk about or discuss.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It's all about attacking you where you're the most vulnerable. I can just about guarantee you, and I'm not going to do it, but I can just about guarantee you, Sister Donna, I could ask for a show of hands of things that's going on inside of our homes that if we would just come clean and say, I hate to admit this, Brother Marsh, but I can't believe that this is going on in my family. I can't believe that we're dealing with this, but we are dealing with this. Is anybody going to get honest with me today, or am I going to be the only one? I told you it's going on in my family.
Come on,
am I the only one? We're going to get honest with God and say, Lord, you've got to help me to be the strong man of mine. You've got to help me, Lord, that I carry a burden and a passion. You've got to help me, Lord, that I stand for the things that I need to stand for. You've got to help me that the devil doesn't come in. He's trying to find a place of weakness. He's trying to find a place where he can get in a hole, get a foothold. Because when he gets a foothold, he's going to begin to do the damage that we begin to look around and say, how in the world and why in the world did this happen in my family? Lord, help us today. Lord, help us today. I'm almost done. Help us to recognize the tactics of the devil.
Amen.
Second Samuel chapter 4. Let me read to you Proverbs 6, verse 10 and 11. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall poverty come as one that traveleth, and I want as an armed man. 2 Samuel chapter 4. And verse 4. 4 and 4. And Jonathan's, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. And he was 5 years old when the tidings came out of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass that she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. And the sons of Rimmon, the Bethrite, and Rechab, and Baanah, went and came about the heat of the day to the house of Ishbosheth, who lay on a bed at noon. Did you hear what I said? He lay on a bed at noon. Now, there's no real reason in my mind, in most cases. I realize that every culture is a little different. But I have the natural question in my mind, what are you doing unless you're sick on the bed at noon, or you're elderly, or, you know, we elderly folks, I'm 65, come back. Sometimes we lay down and take a nap because we need it. But most people, if they're relatively young, don't always do that. Some do. But the question is, I have is, were you there all night? Or are you just taking a little short siesta? Because my Bible warns me. It says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And so shall poverty come as one that traveleth, and the want as an armed man. Watch this. For when they came into the house, he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, and they smote him and slew him and beheaded him and took his head and gat them through the plain all night. But let's go back. Verse 6. And they came hither unto the midst of the house as though they would have fetched wheat. They came under false pretenses and said, hey, we're just here to get some wheat. Don't mind us. We're just here to get some wheat. It's all good. And they found him laying in his bed in golden opportunity. Because the enemy knew, if I can get into a place in a situation where the strong man is not active, and the strong man is asleep, and the strong man is not paying attention, I can do what I want to do, and I can take him out. And that is exactly what they did. They took the man out at an inopportune time. One last verse of Scripture, and that is found in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 12. We're going to get out of here at normal time. I'm not far from finishing up. 2 Kings chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 12. And to masons and hewers of stone and to buy timber and huge stone to repair the breaches of the house of the Lord, for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. Howbeit there were not made for the house of the Lord bowls of silver, suppers, basins, trumpets, any vessels of gold, or vessels of silver, or money that was brought to the house of the Lord. But they gave that to the workmen and repaired therewith the house of the Lord. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to bestow the workmen, for they dealt faithfully. The trespass money and sin money was not brought into the house of the Lord. It was the priest. Now, let me give you a little background. First off, I'm not in my... I apologize. I'm not where I was intending to read. And it was in verse 12. We'll just skip down to verse... Let's skip down to verse 9. And Isaiah said, "This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that was spoken." Now, to give you the background, the Lord had given Hezekiah 15 years. You all know the story. He gave him 15 more years to live. And in verse 9 it says, "This sign shall say to the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backwards 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord and brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Now I want you to really pay close attention to what's said, especially from here down. And at that time, Berechadon, the son of Baladan, the king of Babylon, sent letters unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened to them, and he showed them all the house of the precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the houses of the house of his armor and all that was found in the treasure. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not." Do you get what we just read? Do you understand the significance of what was just read? Here it was, a man who he didn't even know had devised a plot. He wanted to see Hezekiah and see what was in his house. And Hezekiah said, "Oh yeah, man." He got into that spirit of showing off. And he said, "Let me show you this. Let me show you this. Let me show you this. Let me show you this. Look over here. I want to show you what..." He literally escorted what turned out to be the devil right into his home. And I'm here to tell you, there are a lot of people that have made one big, huge mistake. That when the enemy calls up and says, "Hey, I'm trying to take a look and see, and what I need to look and see what's going on in your home. I need to take a little visit in your home." Instead of cutting it off and saying, "No, I don't think you're coming into my house," he said, "I'll let you in. I'll give you the grand tour." And the people, the reason, the why that we're in the shape that we're in this country right now, is because we've had so many people tell the devil, "Hey, I'll give you the grand tour. I'll just open up the vault and let you have anything you want. You want to give liberty away? We'll give liberty away. You want to give freedom away? You want to give our hard-earned resources away? Here you go. Here you go. Here you are." And so here we are as a country. We relate to politicians that have literally done the same thing that Hezekiah did. He said, "Well, just come on in. I'll show you. You need $68 billion, $1 trillion. Ain't no problem, man. We got that. The American taxpayers got that in their pocket, man. That ain't no problem. We got that." So we let all these countries come in and just raid the pantry, as it were. And then we wonder, "Well, I wonder why it's cost me $5.99 for a loaf of bread. I hadn't checked the bread price, I could be way off on that. I hadn't checked it in a while. It's funny because I used to, when I was in the bread business, when I used to sell bread, that I had a bread route. And I can remember when bread was roughly about $2.49 back in the time I worked it for a loaf of bread. So I don't know. That quote I threw out there, is it that far off? It's almost five, so it's not $5.99, but it's headed that way. But I'm telling you, the reason why it got that way, it didn't get that way by accident. And the reason some people's spiritual lives get in a mess, it didn't happen by accident. They said, okay, come on in. That's a bunch of vulgarity, but come on in. That's against the word of God. I'm not supposed to have that in my house, but come on in. That's impure and unholy, but come on in. Verse 14. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what hast thou, what said these men? What did they say? And from whence came unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. Wouldn't you like to have seen Isaiah's face? They come from where? They come from someplace you don't know. They come from a far country you don't know. You decided you'd get on an ego trip. You decided you'd get on a power trip. You decided what you think is more important than the word than being a good leader and following after the will of God.
Come on.
And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house they have seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. And Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, which is thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried unto Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons and that issue from thee which thou beget, and they shall take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Forget any relatives. Forget the grandchild. Forget it all, because they're going to be eunuchs. They're going to be taken away. And not only are they going to be taken away, but all that you see that you have shown them, waiting bye-bye. Because it's not going to stay. It's going to be gone. Brother Brown, in just that one weak moment of not having a strong man in the house, it all went away. When are we going to take the Word of God seriously enough to believe that it can happen to me? That it can happen to me if I choose to have the same kind of an attitude and spirit, if I don't recognize that the battleground is in the home, then it can happen to me. At this point, with my loved one, all I can do is take a stand for truth. But here's my concern. He has three boys in his home, in his care. And if he doesn't get a hold of himself and cut out the influences that are unrighteous, it will take them away into what all, I've seen it over and over again, that people follow after their family into false doctrine.
Right?
People lead one another astray, away from God. The only thing that's going to make up for it, the only thing that's going to change it, is strength. We have a challenge. I'm talking about you, Pastor. I'm talking about me as a minister of the gospel. We have a challenge. And the challenge is to declare and be strong in the word. But we collectively as a body have a challenge to protect the integrity of our home. And I'm not talking about the concrete. And I'm not talking about the wood. And I'm not talking about the ceiling. I'm talking about the integrity of the home.
Amen.
and not the house. Amen. To so many people, home is their abode. It's the wood. It's the concrete. It's all of these things.
Right.
But that's not where it's at.
Amen.
It's the home. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he did this terrible thing. I'm going to tell you one last thing. I'm going to have you stand. I'm closing. If you'll stand as we close. I'm going to say this one last thing. I preached this message from this text many years ago. And I saw firsthand what happens when people disregard the Word of God.
Amen.
I don't know why God laid that passage of Scripture on my mind at that particular time. But I preached about Hezekiah and his willingness to bring that king in and allow him to do what he wanted to do. Well, as it turns out, this individual, and I had a feeling, sometimes you preach to people you got no idea you preach to. Sometimes it's almost like the Lord saying, I'm trying to reach that person. And I had a feeling that this individual was needing to respond to what I was saying. And what she ended up doing is she disregarded the Word of God. She got involved in a marriage. And brother, it's never a good thing, Brother Evans, when we marry the unbeliever.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I said it's never a good thing when we link ourselves up to the unbeliever. We've been instructed not to do it. We've been told not to do it. They knew better than to do it. And not only they know not to do it, but then here I come preaching, hey, this is what's going to happen to you if you bring them in, if you say here. He knows. Did it anyway. We always pay the price when we don't hear the Word of God. Let's bow our heads. Lord, I thank you for your Word today. I've not really done as well as I wanted to do, Lord, but I've tried to bring an awareness, oh God. I've just tried to be that person that's the alarm bell that just rings to say, hey, the enemy's trying to come in like a flood. He's trying to do damage in places that we're not really mindful enough of what he's doing, oh God. Would you help me in my insufficiency, Lord? Would you help me, Lord? I would have loved to have done better, but I can only do what I know to do, and that's to be that bell, that alarm, that ring and ring and ring and saying, are you watching what's going on? Are you paying attention to what the enemy of your soul is trying to do? Are you aware that while you have your focus on so many things, he's working his way into your family? He's working his way into your home. Are you willing to be that safeguard? Are you willing to be that prayer warrior? Are you willing to be that warrior for God? Are you going to allow it to take place? Are you going to be like Hezekiah? You've got the grace of God there. You experienced 15 years of promise to you, but you've got to fall asleep at the word, at the switch, and you're not paying attention. And you see, Hezekiah had a great history. He had a great path, a great opportunity, because he had done so many good things up until that time. But I don't see anything that good in his last 15 years. Though the great things that he did seem to be behind him, even though God granted him 15 more years. What are we going to do with this opportunity? Well, here we have a great chance, because somebody's getting up and saying, hey, somebody's trying to hurt you. Somebody's trying to do some damage against you. And they're doing an end run. They're doing an end run. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to heed the Word of God? My Bible tells me that in the last days, there would be a famine. A famine not of bread, but a famine of hearing the Word of God. And can I level with you? Can I be honest with you? I asked the Lord just in the last 2 weeks. And I began to question. And I said, Lord, that is a very specific time that was talked about. And there could have been many times that this could have been true. But is this that time in which there is a famine for hearing the Word of God? That we just do not respond, even though we know it's true, that it just somehow doesn't trigger that next response to be able to say, hey, I've got to take advantage. I've got to cling to the Word of God. I've got to be obedient to the Word of God. I've got to hold and cherish and appreciate what God has done because He has given me a warning. This thing I know about God. God is giving a warning to this world and this church in this last hour. But is this the day of the famine that we simply will not hear what thus saith the Word of God? Only we can make sure that it's not us. Do you hear me? I said only we can make certain that that is not in reference to us particularly. Praise God. Lord, I ask right now that You would bless this congregation, Lord, as this last prayer is prayed. Would You go with us, oh God, as we go again this week, as we face our battles, and we face our struggles, and we face our challenges. And would You make us aware again, Lord, afresh and anew? Would You allow this message to come back to our thoughts and our memory to realize that the devil is doing everything he can to destroy us from the inside? It's an inside job that the devil is trying to do into our homes. And he's trying to set absolute havoc in our homes. And if we're mindful of it, Lord, perhaps, just perhaps, if we can be mindful of the tactics of the devil, we won't fall prey to it. That we'll be aware of it and we'll pray and we'll seek the face of God. And we'll do everything we can to make sure that the enemy is not able to attack us in a weak place. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Lord, bless you this week. I pray you have a blessed week. Hallelujah. Pray for your pastor. Pray for one another. Listen, I think we're going to go into revival, if I'm not mistaken, next month. Let's have a move of God like this church has never seen. What do you say? I'll keep saying it and I'll keep believing. It's revival for survival. We need a move of God. In Jesus' name.